There is a huge difference between joy and happiness. We sometimes equate the word joy as happiness. The word happy or happiness is based on happenings, events. Happiness is something, you know, the sun is shining and it's warm. It's a happening. Joy is, I'll have the right spirit, whether the sun's shining and it's warm or whether it's bitter, cold, and windy, and whatever. Joy is what you are. Happiness is what happens to you. Happiness is based on the good things of life. Joy only comes when the external is going against you. You don't have joy because everything is going well. You have joy when everything's going the wrong direction. Joy is based on what you are, not what is happening around you. That's what James chapter 1, verse number 2 says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He didn't say, count it all happiness. He didn't say when the trials and the tests come that you ought to be happy. God says we ought to have joy when those things come. Now, when God tells us to rejoice, everybody look at me. I'm not real smart, no comment. But I do understand the English language quite well. The word rejoice means this, re-joy. It means to have joy again. That means you've had it before and you're using it again. It's kind of like, fellas, it's kind of like having more than a single shot rifle. You got that bold action. You fire the first shot and you rejoy, amen, and get the next deer. That's what the word rejoice means. Deer season's tomorrow, amen. You got to celebrate it somehow. You have to understand, God tells us that when problems come, we're to rejoy. We're to have joy again. Problems, trials, difficulties don't ever stop in life. Have you ever noticed life always has problems? For the last 2 weeks, every time my phone rings or it buzzes, I've trembled. I mean that. It's been heartbreaking. It's catching tears. It's telling people, I'll do my best, but I can't help you. It's standing with Larry and Sherry at the bedside of Larry's mama's yesterday with my arms around both of them and saying, I'm not doing a very good job helping you, but she's going to heaven. I can't take the pain away. But Larry drove away with tears because I hurt for you. Oh, I rejoice she's going to heaven. But I know the hole that it leaves when your mama goes. Events come and go. Joy will be tested in these times of trials and problems and opposition and heartache. That means this, joy is needed over and over and over. Sorry. My daughter had her 25th birthday yesterday. Don't tell her I told you how old she was. her name, of course, is Melinda Joy. I don't believe that names mean you are what you are, but that little girl has been a joy to my life because she's been through a lot. She had me for a father. But when God says we are to rejoy, that means you're going to face more and more problems. You're going to face more and more heartache. I'm 55 years old and I face more heartache today than I did when I was 25. It seems the older we get, the more heartache there is. That's what Colossians 1:24 says. Colossians 1:24 says, "Now, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." In other words, we are to have joy even in suffering. That doesn't mean we're happy about hurting. It doesn't mean when my phone rings and it's preacher, it's cancer. I don't say, "Well, are you happy about it?" No. As I stood in the woods praying this week, and my sister-in-law called me to tell me that her husband has pancreatic cancer. And she began to weep. And she doesn't cry very often. I said, "Crystal, you know I love you." She said, "I know, Craig." I said, "People don't know how to help very often." I said, "I'm going to tell you something right now. No matter what I say, it's not going to help. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not good news." She said, "Craig, I understand what it is and the reality of it." I said, "Crystal, people are going to say things and they're going to hurt you in coming days. They don't mean to. What you need to do is ignore what they say and just be thankful they said something. They don't know how to say what they're really trying to say." Brother James, I had that talk with you on New Year's Day when Miss Lily went to heaven. I said, "Crystal, people are going to say, 'How you doing?'" I said, "That's the stupidest thing in the world. When somebody loses a loved one, don't ask them how they're doing. How do you think they're doing? You know how they're doing. How about instead of saying, 'How you doing?' How about saying, 'What can I do? What do you need? How can I help?'" When people go through tragedy, you don't say, "How you doing?" They're hurting. That's how they're doing. People don't mean anything wrong by that, but they've not been taught the right thing to say. So I'm teaching you. God tells us to rejoice in suffering. Now, here's the sermon. Here in Luke chapter 10, God gives us two statements that we just passed by. Look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 10 or 20. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice what? Not." In other words, there are things that we should not rejoice in. Then later in the verse, "But rather rejoice." So there are things that we should not rejoice about, and there are things that we should rejoice about. I want to talk to you today about rejoice or rejoice not. Rejoice or rejoice not. You see, what should we not rejoice in? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. This is not a real typical Sunday morning sermon, maybe. It's a little bit more of a Bible study, but don't worry, it'll have plenty of preaching in it. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse 17. Skip back up to verse 16. "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." God says, don't rejoice when your enemy falls. I can be happy that Nancy Pelosi will not be Speaker of the House anymore. Amen. But I'm not to rejoice in it. Do you know there is a part of me that has been saddened? Can I tell you why? Here's a lady that's spent her whole life for power, and now she has nothing. she's going to be a very lonely person. And as a human being, that hurts me. It really does. Now, I'm glad she's not empowered. Don't get me wrong. But maybe you ought to look at the other side of it. Everything that she's worked for, it's done. It's temporary. It's evil to enjoy the fall of another human being. The very essence of the word evil means this: a conspiracy to destroy someone else. I'm not happy when an enemy of mine, someone who has hated me, falls. I've told this story before. I have a man that for about 9 years, he hated my internal organs. And I mean vehemently. At one point in time, tried to run me down in a parking lot. Now, I never hated him. But about a year and a half ago, I got a text on a Saturday morning when we were having prayer breakfast, Brother Mike. And it said, "Would you pray for me? I have cancer." I said, "Sure. May I ask who this is?" Didn't recognize the number. And the name came across on the next text, and I said, "You've got to be kidding." This man has fought me tooth and nail. I have no doubt that there's people not in church over it. I told him I'd be honored to pray for him. You know that every day of my life since that day I've prayed for that man, his cancer is gone. Do you know that man told me this morning at 5:30 this morning? He said, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for your church, and I love you." I'll take that any day. I was never happy that he had cancer. Never. I hurt when I found out he had cancer. I prayed for him as though I would pray for one of you. You say, "Preacher, that's somebody that hated you." So, he has a wife, he has a family. He has people that he loves. Just because he doesn't like me means that he's a bad man for the rest of eternity. Everybody doing okay? We can rejoice in the defeat, but not their fall. It's evil to pray. I've heard Baptist preachers say this, and I think it's as wrong as a stinking devil. "Well, I'm going to pray for God to kill this person." That's wicked as the devil himself, just so you know. "Well, I'm going to pray for God to do praying judgment upon people." Pray tell me in the Bible where that's at. Amen. My Bible says, "Let vengeance be to God." Amen. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." I learned a long time ago, I'd make a pretty lousy God. And you can't amen that. I've had many enemies in my life. I've never prayed for God to hurt one of my attackers. Brother James, I've never prayed for God to hurt somebody. I've asked God to help stop the attack, but to protect the attacker as much as possible. I've never been happy when an attacker has been hurt, wounded, or died. Never one time. I'm not super Christian. When I'm attacked, I hurt too. But I'm not going to stoop to where my attacker is and become my attacker's attacker. Amen. I'm going to step above and do what God says, even when I don't feel like doing it. Say, "Preacher, I just don't feel like it." You think I did? There have been days I've prayed for 1,000 fleas to fly up somebody's nose. I've thought about it. Pray that their dresser drawers was filled with chiggers. I prayed for a lot. I've thought of praying for some things. But when it comes down to it, I can't do it. We should never pray for their hurt or their harm or their death of anybody. Nor should we be excited when we get news of it. Yes, as Leanne sent me a little thing this week, ding dong, the witch is gone. Amen. But I have no problem with that. But there's a part of me that hurts. There is. There's a part of me that hurts for our president. Not a lot, but a little bit. How would you like to be 80 years old and dementia, Alzheimer's, being a bumbling idiot on the world stage and not even know it? There's a part of me that's embarrassed for him. Amen. I mean that. So God says, rejoice not when your enemy falls. Number two, Hosea chapter 9, verse number 1. You need not turn there, but I'll get there faster than you. Most of you don't even know where the book of Hosea is. But Hosea chapter 9, verse number 1 says, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. May I take a little liberty? God says not to rejoice in God's blessings when you're not living right. God doesn't want us to live phony praise. Now I'm going to make somebody mad if I'm successful. What's phony praise? Phony praise is the professional athlete that today will play sports instead of go to church. They'll interview him and say, I just want to give God all the glory. And you think they're super Christian. If they're such a good Christian, how come they weren't in church today?
Amen.
Ouch. As I said in Sunday school, if you got a coon in the tree, stay there a while and holler. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Well, they talked about God. So? I'm happy they talked about God. I'm happy they mentioned Jesus' name, but nobody's going to get saved over that.
Amen.
They got wealthy doing it, but nobody's going to get saved. God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When you forsake the assembling, don't thank God for your ability.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Okay. Ouch. You don't help the work or reputation of God when you live openly contrary to the word of God. You all know what I'm talking about. You've got those family members or friends. You know they're as phony as a $3 bill. And then they at Christmas or Thanksgiving, they want to show how spiritual they are. You all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's what God's talking about. God says, don't rejoice in that kind of mess. I love America.
Amen.
There's not a better place in the world. She's sick and on life support, and I'm for it. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue, but we're not to rejoice in the filth of America.
Amen.
We're to mourn and weep and beg God for mercy and reach as many as we can to help them.
Amen.
When you live contrary to the word of God, don't talk about how good God is to you. You're not helping God's cause. Okay, you old timers, this will mean more to you than you younger generation. I'm talking about Johnny Cash Christianity, singing the nightclub on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning. God says, don't rejoice in that stuff. Now we bring the nightclub to church on Sunday. God says, don't rejoice in that. So, we should not rejoice when our enemy falls. Man, it's quiet in here. Got the coon in the tree, amen? God says don't rejoice about God's blessings when you're living in direct contrariness to it. Number next, some of you spiritual people, this one's going to hurt real good. Back in Luke chapter 10 where we started. Beloved, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. By the way, we're not bringing snakes and scorpions in here. That's a bunch of trash. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you. God says, just because I protect you from certain things, don't rejoice in that. These snake handling churches are stupid. Well, we'll find out if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You can handle a rattlesnake. Well, we'll find out how stupid you are. You handle it.
Amen.
In the words of my evangelist friend, Brother Jamie Jackson, if you're going to be dumb, you're going to hurt. God didn't say go out there and be foolish. God didn't say, but there are times I believe that God protects us from harm. Yes, I do. But God says when those times come and you see that spiritual battle and God uses you to win the spiritual battle, don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in what little spiritual power you think you have. God says rejoice the fact that your name's written in heaven.
Amen.
He said, don't rejoice over the scorpions and the snakes and the evil powers that may listen because of the word of God, not your word.
Amen.
I've been around demon-possessed people. I've been around the witchcraft and the evils of this world. I've seen things I would never say in public. But can I tell you something? I don't rejoice in those things. Preacher, how come you don't talk about it? Because God says don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven.
Amen.
God says rejoice. And those little boys and girls walked in here. Many of them have gotten saved as children.
Amen.
And they'll never face some of the things some of you have had to go through. I'll take that any day. You can have all the rock bands and all the hip hop and all the praise and worship and everybody get up and jigaboo on the platform and on the, you know, waving their hands and, oh, didn't we have a feeling? I'll take what we just had here over that any day. Everybody doing all right? God does not want us to rejoice in our own authority spiritually. May I say something to you as biblically and as authoritative as I know how to say this? It's not your authority anyway. It's the Holy Spirit working in you through the Word of God.
Amen.
I have no spiritual authority. I've seen God do some amazing things. But I have no authority. It's all God. I remember walking this ground, Brother Bob. You were out here with me from time to time. I stood in this very spot when it was a jungle. Matter of fact, Brother Burns and I cut a couple walnut trees to back here about where Junior Church is. And cherry trees. And I said, God, if you'll help us get it up, I'll preach the truth and we'll see people's lives changed and eternity changed. Did you see it? I have no authority. I have no right to tell you what you're to do. I can show you what the Word of God says and help guide you. For us to boast about all we did spiritually is stealing glory from God. I know people who think they're spiritual that are as carnal as the day is long. Look what I did. Look how many people I had saved. Look how many. Oh, wait a minute. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation, you'd be on your way to hell. We've got nothing to boast of. Nothing. God wants spiritual obedience, not us taking the credit for spiritual results. How about we just satisfy in obeying God and let Him take care of the results? Y'all sang that first verse and talked about a little boy 8 years old and a Sunday school teacher that didn't even know a child got saved. My mind rushed back 50 years, Brother Steve. Camp Baptist Temple. A one-legged man preached a primary church. Vietnam vet. Literally had a peg leg, a wooden leg. Got his leg blown off by a grenade in Vietnam. Got up and preached. Must have been a couple hundred children in primary church that day. I sat back about where Ashley is right now in that room. And he preached and preached about hell and scared the bejeebers out of me. Brother James, I walked up to my Sunday school teacher and tugged her dress and said, I don't want to die and go there. A teacher knelt down at a little kindergartner-sized chair, opened the Bible and showed me the gospel, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. 4.5 years old, I got saved. Amen. And I mean, I got saved. Almost. Not quite, a little over 20 years later. I was a Bible college graduate called to preach. I had left California from Indiana to California, California to South Carolina. It's probably 25 years later. I was about 30 years old. I was preaching in a home for troubled girls down in Mississippi. My aunt and uncle ran as a Lester Roloff type home. It was an extension of Roloff's. I got up and preached one night. Had three girls come forward, got saved that night, and one of them, my aunt came up to me. She said, Craig, you got to hear this. I said, what? She said, just come here. This girl, she's standing there and she's crying. I mean, snot flying, tears fly. I mean, she had everything but blood going, amen? And she's trying to... I told the story I just told about getting saved. And all she could get out was, I got saved. I thought, well, I'm glad, sweetie, but you don't have to get that worked up over it. Teenage girl, probably 13, 14, 15 years old. And my aunt said, Craig, hang on. She finally got her composure. And Brother Andy, she looked at me. She said, you remember that man you talked about that preached that junior church? I said, yeah, Mr. Humphreys. She said, that was my grandfather. I said, say what? She said, that was my grandpa. That man never knew when he was preaching that day that a little four-year-old boy would get saved, that one day that four-year-old boy would become a preacher and see his granddaughter get saved. Amen. Hold my mule while I shout. Whew. That was not me. That's God.
Amen.
I can claim no greatness over that. That's the goodness of God, not the goodness of me. God wants us to obey and not worry about the results. But did you know something? The more you obey, the more the results come. Shazam. Amazing how that happens, isn't it? So God gives us three things about which we should not rejoice. What should we rejoice in? I'm going to hurry. Please don't try to turn to all these verses because you'll never get there fast enough. First of all, God says in Luke chapter 10, verse number 20, that we should rejoice in the fact that our name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Bless God, if I died right now, I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because you've been good? No. Because you're a preacher? No. Because at 4.5 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trusted the complete work of the gospel that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He lived my righteousness for me. He shed his blood. He died. He was buried. And he resurrected and put the blood on the mercy seat. He did it all for me. And all I had to do is accept it. Man, I'll take that any day. I don't care how bad the day is, Brother Steve. All I got to do is think, bless God, doesn't matter how bad it is. My name's written in heaven and I'm going to heaven someday. That's enough to make you want to shout. Psalm 9:14, Psalm 13:5, Psalm 20, verse number 5, talks about rejoice in thy salvation. Rejoice in thy salvation. When's the last time you looked to God and just rejoiced about the fact that you're saved?
Amen.
On your way to heaven.
Well, it's cold outside, preacher.
Then talk to God about how good salvation is.
Well, I don't feel good.
Neither do I. Talk to God about how good salvation is.
Well, I'm insecure about where our nation's going to be.
Bless God, you're saved. You're going to heaven.
Amen.
Someday we're going to blow this popsicle stand. So we ought to rejoice. And remember, rejoy. Not just say it once, but over and over and over and over again. Hey, I've been saved for 50 years and don't plan on getting over it. I don't. You'll go long and hard to find somebody that's been saved as long as I have that's as excited about being saved as I am.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I know where I could be going. Secondly, God says that we ought to rejoice when we put our trust in him. Psalm 5, let me look it up here. Psalm 5, verse number 11. There it is. Bible says this. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. What a powerful verse. Can I tell you something? Let the world run their mouth. Let the fools talk. Let the power hungry have their power. Someday God will defend us. Someday we're coming back on white horses and he's going to lop the heads off all of them. We got nothing to worry about. The Lord is on my side. Who shall I fear? I will not fear what man could do unto me.
Well, preacher, you don't know what they said. Oh, God bless you.
Come here, let me burp you too. Folks, it doesn't matter. I put my trust in God and look what God's doing. I live in the same world you live in. I've just chosen to live it God's way, not man's way. Let's not doubt God. Let's not fear or fret. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Not this freaked out, weirded out society we have today. Used to be when you sneezed in public, people said, God bless you. Now everybody runs and hides. Used to be if you coughed in public, you said, excuse me, and folks said, it's all right. Now they look at you like you got the plague. Y'all remember those days? Yeah. Why? Everybody's afraid. Well, if God doesn't give a spirit of fear, I wonder who does. His name is the devil. God says that we're to rejoice with our music. Ooh. Psalm 98, verse number 4. Let me read you some verses here. Psalm 98, verse number 4. I'll get it here in just a second. I was on the right page if I just look right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Now, everybody listen to this very carefully here. I don't think God's pleased when our music talks about cheating on our wife, getting drunk, sleeping with somebody that we're not married to, doing all kinds of sinful things. I don't think we can rejoice in that. Our music ought to be pleasing to God.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Proverbs 29:6 talks about our music and our joy in rejoicing. Can I tell you something? You can only do this with the right kind of music. Psalm 119, verse 162 says this. We're to rejoice in God's word. Oh, I love this. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can I tell you something? I don't care how bad the day is. If you just get in the word of God, you're going to find something to rejoice about.
Amen.
I don't care how bad the problem, get to the word of God. Say, well, preacher, I don't know what to read. Call me, we'll talk about it, and I'll show you what to read. I'm not afraid of it. It's not man's interpretation either.
Amen.
We need to be in it to know it. We need to hear it preached so we know how to read it and understand it. It's amazing what the Word of God can do. People say, well, you just always say, preacher, it's the Bible, it's the Bible, it's the Bible, it's the Bible. At least you're understanding. Brother Aaron probably gave me one of the biggest compliments. He said, preacher, when we first got saved in church, you kept saying, the Bible's the answer to everything. I kept thinking, it's a little weird. He said, been saved a while now, I'm starting to understand it. The only thing we need is the Bible. Yep. You're getting it. So we're to rejoice in God's word. It's hard to rejoice in it if you don't read it. Next, we're to rejoice in our own work and not complain about it.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse number 8 says, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Ecclesiastes 3:22 says this, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For he, that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Ecclesiastes 5:19 says this, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion, to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. How about we rejoice in the fact that we got a job?
Amen.
We've got a paycheck. That job you hate right now, at one time you were excited about.
Amen.
The pay that you're complaining about right now is something you were excited about when you first took it. Job didn't change, you did. Can I tell you something? I don't dread going to work. I enjoy coming to work. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. It's getting quiet in here. It's all right. Next, we're to rejoice. This one ought to make some of you shout. We're to rejoice in the fact that Jesus is coming back at the rapture.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God talks about here, at the rapture or when I die, we ought to rejoice in both days.
Amen.
Brother Larry, I know how hard it is. But when your mama goes to heaven, there ought to be a little rejoicing. Her suffering's going to be done. She's going to go to heaven and she's going to be all right. I stood behind this very piece of wood 2 years ago with my mama's body down there. And you watched me get through my mom's death, what you would call fairly easily. Can I tell you why? I rejoiced in the fact she wasn't hurting anymore. Oh, do I miss her? Every day. But I'm not going to grieve. Say, why? She's doing a whole lot better than I am right now. We're to rejoice in the fact that Jesus is coming back one of these days. Folks, if he made a promise that he was going to come to Bethlehem's manger, don't you think he's going to keep his promise about the rapture too? Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That means this, rejoice in the fact that he is God.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. Can I tell you something? God's not up in heaven scratching his head wondering what's going to do next. I'm glad I don't pray to a fat little statue.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I don't pray to a man's casket.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't pray to a tree or to a frog or to a holy cow or a holy father or holy whatever. I don't have to pray to Mary. I can talk to God direct.
Amen.
I don't need to go through mommy. I can talk to dad direct. Everybody doing all right? Mm-hmm. You see, we're to rejoice in the fact, hey, if you talk to God, guess what? He's God.
Amen.
There is none other. Come back next week. We'll preach on that. Amen. Colossians 1:24, we read it earlier, says we're to rejoice in suffering. Not whine and complain. I hate to disappoint you, but yes, everybody has heartache. Everybody has pain. Everybody has brokenness. Everybody has problems. Everybody has trials. Did you ever meet that person? You don't want to ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you. Y'all know what I'm talking. You know, you're going to have Thanksgiving this week. You don't want to ask Aunt Gertrude or Uncle, Uncle whatever, how you doing? Because you really don't want to hear all the problems. Can I tell you something? Maybe we just ought to rejoice in the fact that God's allowed us to be here long enough to suffer. Maybe we could help somebody along the way.
Amen.
I love this. Psalm 63:7 says, we're to rejoice in the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 91:4 and Psalm in Matthew 23:37 talks about that he gathers us under his wings like a chicken would her baby chicks. What does that mean, preacher? God's going to protect us.
Amen.
We know the government's not going to.
Amen.
So we ought to rejoice in the fact that God's going to protect us.
Amen.
We're not supposed to rejoice when our enemy falls.
Amen.
We're not to rejoice when we're not living right and we see the blessing of God, but we're not to rejoice because we think we have some spiritual authority. Maybe we ought to rejoice that God's going to protect us.
Amen.
Something I pray regularly for this church and for you people. God, would you keep your hands upon us?
Amen.
If I can feel the hand of God, I know it's okay. If I can sense his touch, I know it's okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you married folk? Sometimes you're going through a hard time and all of a sudden you feel your spouse grab your hand or touch your shoulder. And you go, it's going to be okay. Those of you that have parents that are still alive, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Evan and I were over to see Brother Jim Boer yesterday, our Korean War vet. Every time I pray with him, he reaches his hand out. He wants to touch. Most of the time, he'll grab my hand and then he'll put his other hand on top of it and just rub it. I can't leave him without him wanting to give me a hug. 91 years old. That's a hero. It's humbling. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this, rejoice evermore. God tells us, he says, if I haven't mentioned it, then just rejoice evermore. one verse in the Bible you could remember. Two words. Rejoice evermore. You see, events in life change. People change. Weather changes. The economy changes, hopefully a better direction. Life is change.
Preacher, I just hate change. Do you hate life?
I hate to disappoint you. We're sinners, life changes. It is in a constant series of change. I decided I was going to enjoy all the changes I could. When we were dating, I enjoyed it. When we got married, we enjoyed life without kids. I decided when we had children that I was going to enjoy most of them. When they got married, I honestly didn't cry. I was happy for them. I got more kids because of it. I rejoiced. I wasn't going to be sad. I didn't lose a son. I gained a daughter-in-law. I didn't lose a daughter. I gained a son-in-law. They're my kids. Now they're popping grandkids. You know, if I'd known it was so fun, we'd have had the grandkids first. Wait a minute. I decided I wasn't going to, well, I'm getting old. I'm going to enjoy it. You know, after you get to a certain age, you can say whatever you want and people just let you go. I haven't got there yet, but I'm getting closer. Hey, shut up. I'll never live that old, Bob. One of the happier days of my life is my Josh and Ruth Ann and their family were meeting them at a restaurant. My wife and I got there just after them, and we were at the counter getting our order and paying, and the lady looked at my wife and I and said, "And you're not getting the senior discount." My wife said, "Thank you." And by the way, we weren't old enough for it anyway. Paula is, but I'm not. Now, wait a minute. God says, though, that he wants us to have joy, but he also wants us to rejoice. Happiness is by what goes on around you. Joy is when everything around you isn't going well, that you look to some of these things and say, I'm going to have a right spirit no matter what's happening going on around me. How can, if you all carried 2 weeks of my workload, most of you would commit suicide, attitude-wise. Preacher, how can you be so happy? How can you laugh so much? Because I have joy. And I rejoy. And I rejoy. And I rejoy. And in the process, I don't worry about the circumstances. We just work through them. But I don't live for this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Guess what? This isn't my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
This is just preparation for eternity. I'm getting ready for real life. Huh. May I say something? Hell is a place that will never have joy. Hell is real. There will never be any joy present in hell. I'd hate to see anybody die and go to hell. I have dedicated my life to getting the gospel to as many people as I can. Why? To make sure those boys and girls never have to face hell. Make sure every person sitting in the seats in this auditorium never faces hell. Make sure every person behind the doors of every home in all the counties that surround us never have to go without the truth. Maybe we ought to decide we're going to rejoice. Not always be happy? No. But we can have joy. Can I promise you eternal happiness? No. But I can show you how to have joy. Joy. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder. You say, preacher, if I died today, I am no 100% sure I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but someday I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've never been saved, you come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. It's not joining the church. It's nothing like that. It's just putting your trust in Jesus Christ. If you've been saved and never scripturally baptized, we could take care of that today. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. It just makes you obedient. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, you come. We'll get your name on the church roll. I think you ought to join a church. Maybe just want to come and kneel an old-fashioned altar and get your joy back.